Good morning. Whether you are joining us online or here in the sanctuary, welcome to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin, Texas. We are a spiritual community dedicated to a free and responsible search for meaning, truth, and beauty. I am the Reverend Michelle LaGrave, the co-lead interim minister. I am a queer, white, disabled woman with super short hair, and my pronouns are she, her. Our service today will be about exploring the awe and wonder of this amazing universe in honor of tomorrow's solar eclipse. For those of you who are new, we extend a special welcome. We know that it can be hard to show up somewhere new, and we are so glad that you are here with us today. If you are one of the many, many people who are joining us remotely, we invite you to say hello and join in the online chat throughout the service if you have that capability. If you are here in person, we invite you to join us for the social hour after worship. And yes, there is food. Either way, if you would allow us to get to know you a little better, we invite you to fill out the online visitor form at austinuu.org. We would love to get to know you better. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, wherever you find yourself on your life's journey, whichever your pronouns, whatever your abilities or disabilities, whether you've walked in or rolled in or joined in, whomever you love, you are welcome here. You belong here. We come from a long tradition of seeing a spark of the divine in every person. It is in this tradition, this living tradition, that I invite you to greet the holy among us, either in the comments or by turning to those around you.
Please join me for saying the words for lighting our chalice, printed in your order of service and also on the screens. For the wonder and inspiration we seek from sun and stars and all the lights of the heavens, we light this chalice. And I should have said that our chalice lighting words come from All the Light of the Heavens by Cynthia Landrum. Come you who are wonder-filled, come you who are awe-stricken, come you who are filled with faith or riddled with doubt. Whether you are scientist or mystic or both, whether you are one to seek answers or to embrace mystery, come. All who are humbled by the stars, moons, and planets are welcome here. Let us worship.
One of the things that binds First UU together as a religious community is that the congregation has a common purpose. For First UU Church of Austin, that common purpose is the mission. The congregation wrote it together and emblazoned it on the wall in the sanctuary. Every Sunday, we say it together so that we may more readily carry it with us in our hearts throughout the week. Let us say it together now. Together, we nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice to build the beloved community.
Our reading today is an excerpt from The Most Dazzling Eclipse in the Universe by Adam Frank, who is an astrophysicist. Eclipses are not particularly rare in the universe. One occurs every time a planet, its orbiting moon, and its sun line up. Nearly every planet has a sun, and astronomers have reason to believe that many of them have moons. So shadows are bound to be cast on one world or another as the years pass. But solar eclipses, like the one that millions of Americans will watch tomorrow on April 8th, in which a blood-red ring and shimmering corona emerge to surround a blackened sun, are a cosmic fluke. They're an unlikely confluence of time, space, and planetary dynamics, the result of chance events that happened billions of years ago. And, as far as we know, Earth's magnificent eclipses are unique in their frequency, an extraordinary case of habitual stellar spectacle. On April 8th, anyone who watches in wonder as the moon silently glides over the sun will be witnessing the planetary version of a lightning strike.
This is the time in our service when we center ourselves. We breathe together. And breathing together, we sense one another's loving presence. Breathing in and breathing out, we follow our breath to a deeper place inside. A place of greater wisdom, a place where we are touched by awe and filled with wonder, a place where imagination reigns and inspiration rises. A place where a spark of the divine resides. As we enter into this space, we call to mind the vastness of the universe. We travel outward in our imaginations from the earth, the moon, the planets, the sun, from the Milky Way to the other galaxies, to the universe itself. And as we do so, we find ourselves gaining a new perspective. Our lives, our troubles, our joys become smaller, and we are filled with wonder. Now, let us enter into a time of sacred silence. I invite you to enter into a candle lighting ritual. If you are so moved, you may now rise and light a candle representing whatever it is that you need to honor during this time while music plays.
up. And down.
And now we light one last candle for all those for whom there is no one to light a candle. Here in Austin, Texas, we are expecting a grand celestial event early tomorrow afternoon. Sun, moon, and our little arc of the planet Earth will align just so. The moon will block the sun so that only its outer atmosphere, the corona, will be visible as a brilliant ring of fire that lights up what seems to be a nighttime sky. Over the course of a relatively short period of time, the moon will appear to glide toward, over, and past the moon so that we will experiencing something like a miniature sunset and sunrise. At least, that's what the scientists and their various fields of study tell us to expect. Without them, we would have no way to prepare ourselves or our expectations ahead of time. We would experience tomorrow's eclipse much like the ancient humans before us would have experienced it, and like all the various animals, birds, and plants will experience it tomorrow. No time to declare a state of emergency, or stock up on food, or don special eyewear ahead of time. No way to come up with advanced explanations of what is happening. Only the ability to simply experience. So how many of you have experienced a total eclipse of the sun before? A total one, not a partial one. About a handful, probably a little less than a dozen. Okay. For most of us, this will be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And so it's difficult to predict exactly what we should expect. First of all, the weather forecast changes day by day, and we are far from certain that here in Central Texas we'll have the best viewing conditions after all. But even more importantly, we Unitarian Universalists are an experiential people. We have an embodied theology. That means that we do not begin our theological thinking with a received set of creeds, doctrines, dogmas, scripture, or even teachings. Instead, we begin our theological thinking with our embodied experiences, with our lived experiences. In other words, our individual lives inform the creation of our theology, at least and especially in the beginning. That's where we get curricula like building our own theology. Our individual lives are kind of like our primary source material. We then go on to co-create our theology from the material of our lives, each other's lives, our ancestors' lives, various fields of study, and many received teachings and scriptural sources, and with what we might refer to as the movement of the Spirit, the holy, the divine, the eternal, maybe even God herself, H-I-R-S-E-L-F. In still other words, revelation is not sealed, which means that in relation to tomorrow's eclipse, we have a bit of a theological hiccup. If our theology is based in lived experience, and we haven't yet had that lived experience, how can we fully know what we might think about it theologically? I'm going to repeat that with more theological language. If our theology is based in revelation, and we haven't yet received that revelation, how can we fully know what to think about it theologically? We might have some ideas. We might have some guesses. We might have listened to stories of others' experiences. We might be fully versed in the science of it all. But most of us haven't actually had the experience yet. So what are we to make of tomorrow's eclipse? How do we celebrate it? I'd like to propose that today is kind of like the pre-game show for all you sports fans out there. We're excited. We're making plans. We're analyzing. We're predicting. We're discussing. We're getting together with family or with friends. We're putting safety precautions in place. We're ready. Or at least we think we are, as best as we can tell. So imagine the scene. There are three announcers behind the desk. One announcer, also known as a theologian or minister, suggests that the solar eclipse is all about alignment, getting ourselves and our spiritual lives in alignment with the universe. That there is a deeper theological meaning to the sun, the moon, the earth, and since we have science to tell us ahead of time, all the people moving into the path of totality, getting in alignment. Another announcer jumps in and says, well, I think the spiritual meaning of all of this is about seeing what can normally not be seen. Usually the sun is so bright, so brilliant, that we cannot see all the atmospheric gases that emanate from the center of the sun. Then another one jumps in and says, I really think we need to go in another direction. The meaning of all this is about the moon covering the sun, about the darkness, about hiding what can normally be seen. It's kind of like those troubling times in our lives. But then the sun eventually comes out again. Just like in our lives, we go through times of horrendous grief and loss. And then at some point, eventually, we move into brighter, happier, more joy-filled times. But all of this is kind of like someone telling us ahead of time, we're about to have an amazing, life-changing spiritual experience before the experience actually happens. Will it live up to all of the hype? How could it? What if that doesn't happen? What if I'm the only one who doesn't feel this great sense of awe or wonder? What if I don't live in the path of totality or can't even get there? What if I'm stuck inside for some reason, as I know some of you will be tomorrow? FOMO, or fear of missing out, is a real thing, y'all. So now I'd like to invite you to either turn towards someone close to you, preferably someone you don't know very well, or take some time to quietly reflect on the following. What expectations do you hold for tomorrow's eclipse? And what do you hope to experience during the eclipse? I'll repeat that. What expectations do you hold? And what do you hope to experience? So I'll give you about 3 minutes for this. That was part one. So now it's time for a brief interlude. How many folks here in the sanctuary still do not have a safe pair of solar eclipse glasses? Okay, we've got a couple. This part's for you. It's time for a little contest. I have some glasses, and all you have to do to win these is correctly answer one of the following questions. Remember to raise your hands, and I'll call on you. In what year was the Universalist minister, the Reverend Olympia Brown, ordained? I know at least one of you knows this. Anyone? I do have a couple other questions. They might be even harder. Gretchen.
I'm going to guess 1833.
You're close. Sort of. All righty. 1863. All right. Now I have high hopes that more than one of you are going to know this one. Which Unitarian Universalist minister created affect theology? Which we preached on a few weeks ago. Okay. All righty, the Reverend, yes? Close, yes, you're trying to say it, Tondeika. Yes, awesome, you win. All right, and just because it's fun, I'll tell you the other two questions and just see. So who was the first person of color to be elected president of the Unitarian Universalist Association? I heard people say it, the Reverend Bill Sinkford in June of 2001. And one more. This one's harder. In what year was the UUA's Office on Gay Affairs, as it was called then, founded? Really close. Yes, 1973. Ah. So now that we've had that bit of levity, here's part two of our spiritual preparation for tomorrow. Think of a time when you have eagerly anticipated some special event or class or occasion. What happened? Was the experience better than you ever could have imagined? Did the experience match your expectations? Or did it fall short in some way? I don't really know what to expect during tomorrow's eclipse. I do know that I have some plans in place, that I want to try to pay special attention to the way any animals or birds may react, and that I want to enjoy and celebrate the event as best I can for whatever it has to offer. I also know that I can rest in reassurance from my past lived experiences that no matter how many times I have anticipated some event or other with great eagerness and high expectations, I have always found something valuable in the experience that I can keep, even when it has differed greatly from what I expected to take from it. As we build our theologies from our lived experiences, there are gems to be found everywhere. Sometimes in the darkest, most hidden locations, sometimes in the light of day, sometimes in the most obvious of places, sometimes in the most unlikely. All we have to do is pick them up and treasure them for what they are. May your celebration tomorrow be a treasure trove. Amen, and blessed be.
Join me in saying the words for extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we hold in our hearts until we are together again.
Nasargadatta Maharaj, an Indian guru and teacher of non-dualism, has said, "Wisdom tells me I am nothing. Love tells me I am everything. And between the two, my life flows." May tomorrow and all of your tomorrows be filled with both wisdom and love, in nothingness and everythingness, held in that perfect, delicate, and intricate balance that calls us into wholeness and also keeps us humble. You have been blessed. Soon go forth, blessing all others as you yourselves have been blessed. Amen. May it be so.
This is a production of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, go to our website at austinuu.org.